هذا صار رحمه الله فمي yeah سيخ نسمع استني وش اين بعد شو حاول okay we're both sorry shalom I thank Rabbi Stein once again I think this is our third year this is the Shnas HaChazaka of being here in this time of year to share Shiurim in Inyanei Mikvaos okay. The Torah tells us in Parsha Shmini, "Ach mayin uvor mikve mayim yetahor v'loger b'levosam yitmo." This pasuk is the source of all of many hilchos mikvos. One pasuk in Parsha Shmini, and it talks about different bodies of water. We'll discuss in more detail what they are. It talks about a mayan. And a bor mikveh mayim. Different type. We'll describe in detail what these things are. But these are different bodies of water that are, the Tosuk says, yetohor. So, what does yetohor mean? So, Rashi in Chumash has two pshatim on what yetohor means. Take a look. Ach mayin ubor mikveh mayim, hamikubarim lakarka, ein nekablim tuma. In other words, Yetohar, the first Pshat in Rashi means that these bodies of water are immune to be Mekabal Tumah. In other words, we know that there are things that are Mekabal Tumah. Kalim, you know, Ochlim, Mashkim, all things are Mekabal Tumah. So Mayim is a, you know, that's a Mashke. Right? It's one of the Zayim Mashkim. It's a Mashke. It's Mekabal Tumah. So the chiddush of this pasuk is that mayim shebekarka is not mekabel tuma. In other words, if you have water, but it's on the, in the ground, you know, either you have a crevice in the ground, you have a hole in the ground, and you have water there, so it's not mekabel tuma. In other words, even though mayim normally is mekabel tumah, so if I have a cup of water and there's and that and a sheretz fell in or a chveis, you know, somebody touches it who's tummy, then the water is mekabel tumah. But here, the water, in that case, the water's in the kli. It's not, so it's not mekabel tumah. But if it's in the ground, so then it has a din of mikvah. We'll see. Obviously, the regular mikveh we have is a mikveh for a person, and that's memsah, which is the shear that a whole human being could fit in. But then we have, you know, mikvehs for, you know, so for kalim tameim, things like that. That the whole shear mikveh is. That not, I'm not talking about kalim nikdim benachav. I'm talking about like kalim tameim. You have a needle, things like that. Bizman Chazal, you wanted your things to be tohar, because if something was tamei, that means that you come in contact, you couldn't eat the kachim, etc. So everything was, everything, every single thing in your life, you had to know whether it's tamei or tohar. Today, the concept of tum and tar is only isha labayla, is for marital intimacy. That's why Bizman Chazal, when a woman was in Nida, it was public knowledge. It was the talk of the town. Because everyone had to know, if she sits in this chair, can I sit in the chair? So it didn't have the connotation of intimacy. So therefore, that why it didn't have the stigma. Today, it's a stigma. Woman's is Nida, she's mastier when her tefillah. It was a, then, it was a public thing. Gemara says she wore big day nidus, special clothing, to announce to the whole world that I'm a Nida, because that was what you had to know, because it wasn't a private thing. So it didn't have, since today it only has to do with marital intimacy, so then it became a private thing. But with Zman Chazal, it wasn't considered a lack of, a breach of sneas. I mean, this is, they tell you, you Gemara says, chukzaka Nida b'shcheino seha. You know, it was a public thing. So therefore, everything had to be brought to the mikveh. I mean, certain things can't be brought to the mikveh. Ochlin, you can't have a sandwich that's tameh, so it's not going to help. Even though you might not want to eat it after it's a soggy sandwich anymore, if you were tovel in the mikveh, but it wouldn't help. It wouldn't help to be tovel a sandwich in the mikveh. So lemelawat. So therefore they had mikveh for kalim. And you know, for kalim tameim, even which originally was a revisa, and then they were batlu al revisa, then they made it that it should be memsah, etc. But the concept of yeh tohor, the first pshat in Rashi, means that once you have a shem mikvah, even a revis, then that is immune to being mekabel tumah. So that water, even though water normally is one of the Zayin Mashkin and is Mekabel Tumah, but Maim Shebekarka is not Mekabel Tumah. And that's Yeh Tor, the water will be Tor. But that's the first pshat. The second pshat in Rashi is HaTovel Bahem Mitumoso. And that's, I mean, we assume, that, what does that mean? That if a person is Tameh, a Nida, face, these things, so how does she become Tor? By going into the mikveh, by going into the Arbim Saw. So this is, the Yetor is going on the person. As opposed to the first Pshat in Rashi, Yetor is going on the Mayim. So the second Pshat in Rashi is the Yisod of all use of mikveh, you know, Bizman Hazeh, is that the person becomes, the fact that the water in the karka is also tohar, so that's not as much nogei b'zman hazeh, because we don't care so much about tumah v'tahara. However, parenthetically, in Hilchas Nida, it comes up that a person, we know there's a halacha, if a person has a kesem, a woman has a kesem, and a kesem means a stain. It means that she didn't have a hargasha, she had a stain on her clothing, and she had a worse stain on her underwear, etc. So if the stain is a certain size, so she's a nida midrabbanan. So a shayla comes up every once in a while, what if the stain is in the water in the toilet? Right? In other words, if the stain is on a tissue, and we assume, most of the American poskim assume that the tissue is disposable, it's not mekabel tumah, so it's not, and then you threw it into the toilet, it doesn't matter, it's on the tissue. But a lot of times women will find blood in the water. And that's a common shayla at Hilchas Nida, finding blood in the water. So that's a whole long sugya. But part of this issue, as Rabbi Cheskel Roth wrote a whole kuntras, he wrote kuntras oni, on Ervin, Nida, and Yivamus. You know, that's the Ani Masechtas. So he wrote one kuntras on these three things, one tshuva about Erevin, about the Schiris Rishus, about the Bisman Hazeh, you know, there's a work. One about Nida, about if you have water if you have blood in the toilet. And the other one was about Yivamus, I think it was about 9/11 or something, to Mater and Naguna, something like that. That was his tshuva. So in the Nida tshuva, he discusses the first sugyas in Mikvos, or about Megaboyim, about this idea, and he discusses this idea that maybe the water in the toilet, based on Yetar, is Tahar, is it's its own mini mikvah, it's a mikvah revius, and therefore if a mikvah revius is not Mekabel Tumah, then the kesem that's found inside the water might not be a problem, even if it's more than a gris, because it's like on a Dover Shein, Sheino Mekabel Tumah. So that's a very relevant. And then the question is, but once it gets too big, that's a whole long, but that's the most, you know, the relevant issue, Halacha L'maisa, of that topic, of the Yeh Tohor, of the first Pshat of Rashi. And the second Pshat of Rashi, of Yeh Tohor, is the whichamacallit, is the fact that a person becomes Tohor. That's the Yisod of all Hilchas Mikvos, that you tell me, you go to the mikvah. That's this pasuk. So those are the two pshatim in Rashi. Okay. So now the Torah tells us that there are two forms of water. There are two forms of water. one form of water is what? A mayan. And one form of water is bor mikveh mayim. So let's start with bor mikveh mayim. Bor is a pit. So you dig in the ground. How do you build a mikveh? That's not how we build a mikveh today. We're much more sophisticated and much more... But what is it? Like Rav Shach said, you dig a hole, and then it rains. And that's your mikveh. Great. You dig a hole, a big enough hole, that a human being will be able to recover their whole body when they dunk. And you dig it in the ground, and then you wait till it rains, and you have your mikveh, and that's it. And that's called bor mikveh mayim. And mikveh, like Rav Shach always likes to say over to Mordechai, it's quote from the Mordechai, loshen kava v'kaimi. It's stagnant water. It's stagnant. What's one of the basic psulim in mikvahs is if you have a leak. If you have a leak in the mikveh, so then that's going to be a problem. It has to be what? A zechila hanikeres. It has to be, we'll have a whole shiur on this, it has to be a noticeable leak. Because the Chasam Sofer says beautifully, he says, if you dig in the ground, right, and you have, so what do you have? You have a hole, a ditch, and it's earth, right? It's earth. So of course there's going to be seepage into the earth. As the Chasam Sofer says, the Torah never said, ubor sid. It doesn't say you need to plaster it to make sure there's no leakage. Bor means you dig a hole in the ground. The ground is made out of karka, so that means there's going to be seepage. So the Torah never said that it has to be bor sid. Like the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, you know, bor sid she'einam kabel ma'abe tipa means that it's plastered. And this person's memory is so good that he's a bor sid she'einam kabel tumah. That's one of the descriptions of one of the Tanoim, right? The Yochanan Mezakeh was Mona the Shvachim of different Tanoim. So it's bor sid she'einam kabel ma'abe tipa. So the Chasam Sofer writes in the Tshuva, the Torah never said, if I'm in mikvos, you need a bor sid. You just need a bor. So therefore, seepage is allowed. So he says, that's the source, he feels, of the Kiddush of the Rashba, that if it's a zechila, that has to be what? It has to be nikeris. The zechila is permitted. There could be some seepage. But it has to be noticeable. So if you just have water in a pit, and there's going to be seepage a little bit into the karka, you know, so that's not noticeable. In other words, when you see something, you know, rushing out or dripping out, then that's noticeable. Here it's not noticeable. Maybe if you come back in 10 years from now and you didn't change it, a lot will have, that will be noticeable. But it has to be noticeable, you know, more or less immediately. So the bor mikveh mayim means that it's stagnant water, and that's the rainwater. The rainwater, and that's the definition of a mikveh, to be metayer. And then the Torah says another halacha, that you can have a mayan. A mayan is when the water is coming from underneath the ground. In other words, you dig deep, and then you deep, 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 and then you'll hit water. And that water, we consider, is called me mayan, which is another option. Another option to mitaher a nida. Some communities want to use dafka Mayan water, but even those communities like Passaic or others that use Mayan water, it's not a real Mayan because they have to pump it up in a way that doesn't passel it, and once it's already nipsuk from the source, then it loses its status from a mayan. So a mayan would mean that you dug deep, and then you're going to go down deep, deep into the water. In other words, so, you know, so a regular mikveh, they're not going to have steps that are going off 150 steps till you hit the water, because they're going to pump it up, so it'll be at a nice normal level. and then by then it'll lose the status of a mayan. So it's a mayan shenifsak. You know, it's not in its original pristine place. So a mayan is what it's. So there are in certain Hasidic communities in the square that they want to have there could be a hider to have in certain situations to have real may mayan. The common usage is an ocean. Is an ocean. A lot of times people go on vacation and they don't have a mikvah. So thanks for Chabad, they provided mikvahs around the world, you know, and the mikvahs of, you know, if they're done properly, you know, it's a whole, you know, Chabad always has, not always has, but sometimes has some controversy that surrounds it, but sometimes it seeps in to the mikvah area, and there was mikvah controversies also, but I hold that, you know, you can go, you can use them. A Chabad mikvah, lechatchila, if that's, you know, so they, and they have a different way of building mikvahs. So by the time we finish these series of shiurim, you'll understand what their way is. But I told a certain Rav in his community, we're redoing the mikvah, whether he should, even though I hold it's lechatchila, but I told this Rav, he wanted to know whether he should do a Chabad mikvah in his community. I said, absolutely not. Because in your community, they're going to be people that don't like Chabad, and they're going to say this mikvah is no good because it's Chabad, and we don't hold from Chabad, and that's the world we live in. So so you shouldn't have this problem, and no one should be saying that the mikvah is no good, even though I think it's 100%. But whatever, so you should avoid machlokes. So even though you're right, some people their personality is, you know, is it. I hold what I hold, and the whole world could, whatever. But I think it's better to avoid controversy. So even though I think it's 100% kosher, but since knowing the world today, and the knowing how certain people operate, that's the way it's going to be. So I told this Rav that when he reads those of the mikvah, don't make it a Chabad mikvah, make it a regular mikvah. So now there could be that certain Chabad people want the dafka have a Chabad mikvah, so let them, you know, go to the Chabad mikvah, and again, it'll take time to learn till we get to this idea of what the Chabad mikvah is and what that is. So that's coming attractions, Bez Hashem. So a mayan is water from underneath the karka. Now, the mayan is different. The main halacha of difference is that a mayan doesn't have to be stagnant water. Oh, so I was about to say something. An ocean has the status of a mayan. So, that's how I got on. I'm saying that a lot of people, they go on vacation, and there's no mikvah. So I said, thank God for Chabad, they provide many mikvahs. But even there are places that they don't even have a Chabad mikvah. So then what do? So if you have an ocean, so that could be a good thing. You have to have an ocean. And as you go in the ocean in a private manner, then that would be, that has the status that we pass, and that has the status of a mayan. So an ocean has the status of a mayan. Should you go? The other halacha is that you learn in Hilchas Nida that there's a requirement that somebody watch the woman go underneath, because if one strand of hair didn't make it underneath, then the whole field is puzzle. All you need is one strand of hair. So the mikvah lady assures that you go underneath. So the question is, when you don't have a regular mikvah, so you either have to get some woman who will go with her, or the Noda Behuda says, B'shas HaTzorach, the husband could be the mikvah lady, and he could watch to make sure that she is underneath the water totally. So a mayan is an example, a modern-day example of a mayan, is just on the regular ocean. And now, when I talk about oceans, I mean oceans. I don't mean a river, and I don't mean a lake. I mean an ocean. Rivers and lakes is a separate discussion, which Hashem will hopefully get to. But now, so the main halachic difference in between a mikveh and a mayan is that a mikveh definitionally has to be stagnant water. That's the lashon of kava v'kaimi. You know that it's yikavu hamayim or makom echad. You know it's stagnant. It's in one location, right? It's not dripping. It's not there's no leaks, etc. I mean, we said it could be a mischila she'ein hanikeres meikar adin is okay, but there can't be a mischila hanikeres. But a mayan mischila is fine. You can have a mischila in the mayan, just like an ocean. An ocean moves. The water, the waves, they move. It's not just stagnant water. That's one halacha. And the other halacha, so that is whether a mayan has a shear. A mikveh has to be arbaim saw. A mikveh has to be 40 saw. If it's not 40 saw, then it's, even though the person might be a midget, right? He might be a midget. So you may be saying, I only need 30 saw. No. 40 saw for everybody. Now, if you're a person that you can't fit in 40 saw, you're going to have more for shteitzach. Because, again, there's no heter for any part of the body to be outside the mikveh. It's not like heksher kelim, where you can be machshir part of the kelim. You can bring machshir this part and then the other part. And then, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be simultaneous. Mikveh, the whole body has to be submerged under the water simultaneously. So a mikveh has a shear. Now the question is, what about a mayan? Does a mayan have a shear? So the halacha is that a mayan, says the Mishnah, is mitaher b'kol shehu. B'kol shehu. What does kol shehu mean? So obviously, literally kol shehu means a little bit. Now if you're a human being, a little bit is not going to do it. I don't know any person that's even a short person is not a little bit. It's still a whole person. So a little bit means enough to cover whatever you want to be tovil, even if it's not 40 saw. That's what it means, a kol shehu. So if you're you know, using you're tovil a needle, so then a kol shehu would mean, it should be maybe at least a revius, but then enough that the needle will be, so that could be a little bit. But if you're a human being, so the halacha is that a mikveh always needs to be 40 saw. And let me also mention, now that we're talking, that a mikveh needs to be 40 saw for a woman to be tovel, as well as when you buy kalim and ha'akum. Right? That's the other usage of mikveh that we have today. That if you buy kalim from a guy, you have to bring it to the mikveh, so then what? That mikveh is the same halacha of what? Of a woman's mikveh. Same halacha. It has to be enough that a woman would be tovelin. So why is it so, you know, like women's mikveh is a whole to-do to build a woman's mikveh, you know, and a kalim mikveh, like a hardware store has a kalim mikveh in the back, you know, so what's the... So the answer is, a kalim mikveh and a woman's mikveh both need just 40 saw. But the thing is like this, a woman's mikveh needs an apparatus that we can change the water on a frequent basis. So we have to figure out how to do that. You see, because then the women are going to complain. The women are going to complain the water is not clean. So we have a problem. So we have to build it in a way that we could constantly change water. And we'll discuss how you do that. But the knives and the forks, they don't complain so much. So you could just build a mikveh that's 40 saw, and you'll change it once in a yovel. But you won't, and the pots and the pans, you know, won't complain so much. So that'll be okay. But the women, they'll complain. So that's the story. Oh, so these are the two halachas, that a mikveh has to be 40 saw, and it has to be what we call bashbarin, has to be stagnant in a cavity, right? If you want to lose, see the word here on page 5 in the Mikvah, Bashbaran, that last word. And a Mayan is Matayar Bezochlin. It could be flowing water and Kol Shehu. Now, there is a machlokus in the Rishonim whether when we say a Mayan is Matayar B'Kol Shehu, is that only for Kalim to Mayim, or is it even for a person? Because again, Kol Shehu just means that the whole, whatever you're trying to submerge will totally be submerged. Now, it's not Kol Shehu Kepshuto if the thing that you're trying to submerge is greater. It has to be in totality, Kol Shehu. So there's a Machlokas Rishonim whether that only applies to Kalim, to Mayim, or even to Adam. There's several Rishonim hold, Rabbeinu Tam and others, that when it comes to an Adam, that even the Mayim needs 40 Sah. Even the Mayim needs 40 Sah. And that's how, and others Rishonim disagree with that.
And how do you calculate 40 Sah?
Well, the 40 Sah is, you know, Amma Barum Gimel Amos.
It's moving water.
So let me explain one thing, and we'll get to your question. So again, mikvah is 40 Sah, Bashboren, Mayan is even, Zochlin, and it could be Mikol Shehu. So the question is, whenever you have two distinctions between this halacha has two distinctions, this halacha. The question is, are these two things related? Or are these two separate things? There's the fact that it's Bashboren, and the fact that it's what? And it has to be 40 Sah. Are those two halachas connected? Or those are two random halachas that happens to be? These, they're two of the differences. Or is one different than the other? Or in other words, or one is a cause of the other. So there's a famous Vilna Gaon based on the Tshuva of the Rivash that says the following. We know that there is a halacha called Katafras Einu Chibur. So that if you have, yeah, take a look on page 30. It says, "Hanitzak v'katafres, v'mashke tofeach einu chibur, lo l'tum v'lo l'tara." So what does it mean, katafres? So katafres means if you have water sliding down a mountain. That's what a katafres is, a slope. And say in the slope there's little holes. So say you have a hole that has 20 saw, another hole that has another 20 saw, but the water is going down the slope, is connecting the two holes. So do we say that I could go into one of the holes and say I could fit? Say I'm not a giant, so I can fit into the 20 saw, but that's not good enough. I need a mikvah 40 saw. So the fact that the water is connecting between the two 20s together, maybe that's good enough. So the halacha is no. That if it would be a flat piece of land, and I'd have two holes, 20-20, and the water is on top of it, and the water's not moving, so it's all flat, and nothing is moving, all stagnant, then I can say I can go into one mikvah, and that's considered connected to the other mikvah. But if the water, the two holes are on a slant, so the water that's connecting is flowing down the ramp, so that's the halacha of katafris einu chibur. That's the that's what the Mishnah says. So comes the Rivash on page 31. Shuvah's Rivash, and he says like this. He says like this, that What if you have a mikvah that when you go into the mikvah, see, the way we build a mikvah today, you go into a mikvah, so the walls of the mikvah are very high. Because the question is like this, when you go into a mikvah, your body is going to displace water. So how does that work? So it's very simple. We make it much higher. So even though it's going to displace, it'll still be within the same confinement. But the mikvah he was talking about is that there was a hole in the ground. You go into the mikvah, and then the water will be displaced by your body. So the question is, does that make the mikvah puzzle? Because now what? The water is going outside the hole, and the water is moving. So maybe that water is not considered connected to the water in the mikvah, and they say the mikvah only has 40 sar. So now it's getting displaced. So maybe that's not considered connected to the, and therefore it's no good. So the reverse says like this, it depends. If where you dug the hole is flat land, and then you dug a hole there, and then you had the 40 sar, and then you go in. So what's going to happen? You're going to displace the water. The water's going to come out, and then it's not going to come back in. So therefore, that's no good. Because then the water, well, you're going into the mikvah, the water's moving. The water that came out that you displace is moving. And the moving water is not considered connected to the rest of the mikvah. So now the mikvah started with 40 sar, and now your body displaced it. So now the mikvah face has 37 sar, and the other three are moving out. And even though they're technically they are connected, but since the water is moving, then that's not considered connected. So now you only have a mikvah with 40 minus 3. And that wouldn't be good. But if the way the situation is you have a ditch in the ground, and basically what happen is the water will come out and be displaced by your body, but then the land surrounding the ditch is on a slant. So what will happen is when you come in the mikveh, the water will go out, be displaced by your body. But then as soon as you go out of the mikveh, what will happen? The water will return because it's on a slant. It's not like if it's straight water, then your body will displace it and then it's going to stay out of the mikveh. Here, it's water that your body is displacing it. But once your body leaves the mikveh, it'll come back in. So that's not considered that it's a problem because of moving water, because any water that's moving and will itself come back in will not be considered a zechila. So that's what the Rivash says. So the Vilna Gaon says, you see from the Rivash a big chiddush. We said before, chatafra say the chibur, right? Because it's on a slant, it's not a chibur. But he says it's not so much whether it's on a slant or not. The question is it moving water or not moving water? It's on a slant, therefore it's moving. But say it would be moving and not on a slant, that's also considered katafis. Because any moving water, any time water is zochel, that's also called a katafis and it wouldn't be a chibur. So if you had flat land, and then there's the two crevices, each had 20 in it, and then there's water filled in, so and now there's just water on top and it's not moving, so then that could be a chibur, right? Because it's not a katafras. But say you have water that's moving water, gushing water that's just moving. Even though it's not a katafras, that will also be considered, it's not a slant, but the mice, it's moving. The movement is the important part. Moving water is not a chibur. That's how the Vilna Gaon interprets what the Rivash is saying. That's why he says if the water comes out and it's moving, it's not considered mechubur to the... So the water that was displaced is not considered mechubur, but if it's not moving water, meaning water that will come back in, by definition, even though it's moving, is not called moving, because it's going to come back. So that's not called moving. Oh, so based on this, says the Vilna Gaon, I'll show it to you inside momentarily, says the Vilna Gaon, that the two halachas are the same. Meaning, why does a mikveh have to be what? Stagnant? It also has to have 40 saw. A mayan could be zochel, but it doesn't need what? 40 saw. It's pashit. The two things are hab hatalia. Because according to the Rivash, any time water is moving, that's called a katafis. And it's not a chibur. So if a mikveh requires 40 saw, it means you have to have a chibur of 40 saw. So if the water would be moving, then what? Then you wouldn't have a chibur. So then what? You wouldn't have a shear. But by a mayan, it doesn't need a shear, so then it could be moving.
Actually, you can't pass the mic, the rabbinic problem. But a mayan needs a shear.
Oh. Oh. So you ask an excellent kasha. I was waiting for someone to ask the kasha. Because according to the shita of the Rishonim that says a mayan needs a shear for Adam, so how does that work? And a lot of, I forget which Rishon says what, but if it was, but whatever, according to the Rishonim, let's say you need a shear for Adam. So the Rav Shimon Shkop has a piece to answer your question. He says, though, this shtickel Torah works for all shikas. He says, because, you see, there's two halachas of a shear. When a mikveh needs a shear, that's the chalois mikveh. It needs a shear. Right? It needs a shear. But according to the sheet that holds that even mayan needs a shear, the mayan, the heft of the mayan is even a kolshu. It's just a shear in the maisa tefila. But it doesn't have to be mechuber to miyatzer the chativa of a mayan. Because the shei mayan is even a kolshu. The fact that it has to be a certain shear is not a din in shiurim. It's just a din that's what you have to be told. It has to be there in metzias. But it doesn't have to be mechuber together. So, but by a mikvah, it's not enough that the water be there. It has to be one unit. And it's only considered one unit if anything al pidin is considered mechuber together. That's a very tief svar from the Shimon Shkop. You have to think about it for 20 years. And then you'll get it. But let me show you this Vilna Gaon. What page is the Vilna Gaon on? Vilna Gaon here. Take a look. What page? I'll show you in a second. It's the first in Shulchan Aruch. Let's see. Page. It's on page 52, it should be here. The Vilna Gaon, yeah, is on. You can take a look in the Bir HaGra. At the very beginning, but let me see if we have that page here in the packet. For a second. Oh, page 27. So he says here, the time of the Mayan Matarba Zochlin, Masha Ain came to Mikvim Shum the Katafer Seinu Chibur. The reason why Mayan is Matarba Zochlin, as opposed to a Mikvah, he says, because any time the water is moving, that's not called a Chibur. And therefore, you need a shear. So you won't have a shear if it's going to be moving. Even though it's physically there, but halachically, you need a shear. Masha'en came a mayan, the matar b'kol shu. But a mayan is matar b'kol shu, so it doesn't need a shear. And like you said, Rabbi Birkin, that even lamanda omer, the mayan needs a shear, that's not considered a shear in the cheftza shel mayan, it's only considered a shear in the maisa tefila. So that's how you can look at Rav Shimon Shkop, says this here. Page 34 to answer your kasha. I'm glad you asked the kasha. Okay, so he says, "We make a kosher in Indian zel zet. Avim named the zochman like a chibur that starfle mamsah. Who rat will make a shom shachibur gorim then tara. But in a sheer tefila, shaper mitstarfen. But it's only a din in the sheer tefila. But it's not a din in the heftzah of the mind. So that's how he answers the kasha of how could this work according to." The sheet is that you hold, you need 40 saw by Mayan even for Adam. Okay, now, the question, there's another fundamental question in this discussion of a mikveh and a Mayan, and that is the following. When you dig underneath the ground, so we said that's Mayan. And that's Mayan. And if you get rainwater from Shamayim, that's mikvah. But there is a question, who says? Because sometimes, even if you dig underground, the water could be coming from a water source off to the side. You understand? In other words, maybe it's coming from the local river or local whatever. Not so just because it came from the ground. In other words, because once we declare something a Mayan, we're going to be Mekel to allow even Zechila. So then you have to be very sure that it's really coming from the ground, as opposed to something underneath the ground is not necessarily May Mayan, because it could become coming from something off to the side. What the Mishnah calls metamsis shalopasku. That, in other words, you have water that's coming, we'll call it horizontally, from the local ocean, and that's why the Satmar Rebbe says here in New York, in Manhattan, you can't assume you have a Mayan, because all the different sources of water around it, right, are close enough that there is a possibility that they're coming from there. Also the person, so what's the big deal if they're coming from there? We said like an ocean, it could be but if they're coming from there, from the side, and they're coming through the pores of the karka. But once they come from the pore of the karka, there's no chibur. It's very minimal. You need a certain amount of space to say that the water is mechubur. It's just coming through from a side ocean or a side through the ground, so that would be considered like a Mayan shehufsak, right? Because as we said before, a Mayan is only connected to its original source, or at least it has to be a shear of connection. But if it's only coming through the ground, they're not. So therefore, if you have what's called, if you dig under the ground, you won't necessarily al pidin be considered a Mayan, unless it's very far away from any other. There's a question what the shear is, but it has to be very far away from other sources of water that could be possibly seeping in from the sides. And in fact, my friend Rabbi Rosenberg, he built a mikveh in Uman. He built a mikveh for Uman I know somebody this year who went to Uman for Rosh Hashanah, and she met her shidduch in Uman. And Rosh Hashanah, but it's usually for men to go, but some women go. So he built mikvahs for women, so they didn't have to travel 5 hours to somewhere in Russia to get the mikvah. He wanted to verify whether the water that he was using was may mikvah or may mayan. So in the Sefer Lechem V'Slimla, on page 12, he quotes from the Gedulei Tara, that there are certain simonim to be able to tell. If you take a look here on page 12. Yisip Tosefta, Hachofer b'tzad hayam, u'b'tzad anar, harehen k'bei tamtzis shelo poskul. So that's the Tosefta. That if you, just in other words, if you're chofer b'tzad hayam, so you can't necessarily assume that the water is Mayan water that's coming underneath the ground, because maybe it's coming from the sides. Unless you're far distance away. So he quotes here, so how much is samach? You know? So it's a whole show. What does samach mean? So he says, Hasimonu mahafkin heim meimayin she'im heim vokim derech nevia milmata lamala v'lo derech tzdodim heim meimayin. In other words, if it's coming like the water shooting up, right, when you dig, so then you can assume it's coming from underneath, not from the sides. Or meimayin malim keingalim, if you have like waves or something like that. So then you know it's coming from the side. Or so depending upon how the water is, you know, is it like shooting up or something like that? So that was probably going to be May Mayan, as opposed to if it's not shooting up, etc. So Rabbi Rosenberg said he was in Uman, so and he had another Hamtzah, and he said Rav Shlomo Zalman agreed with him on this, that you just take it to a lab, and you'll see if there are minerals in the water. So if it's just plain rainwater, it's not going to have minerals. So therefore, you know that it's rainwater, then it's coming from the side, and it's not it's made tamsish or aposko, and it's not considered a what. Not considered meimayin, and therefore you wouldn't have a heter of zechila. But if it had minerals, so the water has minerals, the water that's coming from underneath the ground, that's where it gets its minerals. So you take it to a lab, and then you don't need these simanim that the achronim bring. And that could be another way of being able to verify whether the mikveh is, because again, the klal is hachofer somach liyam, so then somach lenahar, then you can't just assume that it's, even though you're chofer underneath the ground, the Tosefta says that that's not considered mayim, meimayim necessarily. So it can't be somach. But then we have to know what the shear is, so it's hard to figure out. So then the poskim gave these simonim of how the water is gushing up or not gushing up, and then Rosenberg gave this idea of just taking it to a lab and figuring out what it is. Okay. There is also a discussion of Naharos. So maybe we'll continue with that. We'll go down for Mincha. Yeah. Okay. So we'll end here, and as I said, next week we'll continue with this packet, and then we'll bring you another packet. Okay. Have a good Shabbos.